The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, thank you so much. Great. And Brother Lofton, if you can help me with the hallway and kind of get everybody in that might have drifted out that way. Take your Bible and go to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, if you will. Luke chapter 12. And I want to speak to you tonight on choosing close friends. Choosing close friends. May we stand together. Luke chapter 12, look at verse 48. Luke chapter 12, verse 48. The Bible says, "For unto whomsoever," it says, "much is given, of him shall much be required." Now watch what it says. "Shall be much required." It says, "And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." Now, in this particular passage, you see that God is saying, okay, I'm going to give to some that which is much, but to the much that I do give is that which is the much I will require. Now, the Bible says, "He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." The Bible says, "As a man soweth, that shall he also reap." The Bible says that who hath hindered you? Normally, when there's a hindrance, there's always a who behind it. So let's talk tonight about choosing close friends. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for the privilege to be able to come, be able to read the Bible, be able to see truth that could change our lives. We ask you to do that, please. Thank you for a good service this morning. All the people walking the aisle, receiving Christ, all the good number of people following you in baptism. Father, thank you for the new members that have recently joined. Father, that was a blessing. Lord, I pray you'll bless the evening service now. Speak to hearts, change your lives. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated, if you will. Years ago, one of my children came to me and said, "Dad, if I was to choose a close friend, what would qualify them?" In other words, is there qualifications I would need to look for in choosing a close friend? Now, may I say, there's a difference between choosing a close friend and just a friend, okay? You ought to be friends to everybody. Friends to everybody. You ought not be mean to anybody, all right? But to choose a close, exceptional friend, what are you looking for? By the way, if you write these down and you're not married, this will help you to choose the right type of person to marry. If you have a friend, see if they qualify tonight. If you're a parent, one day your child's going to grow up, they're going to come to you. They're going to ask you the same question that my children did ask to me. Okay, and so I'm going to give you just some simple things, five simple things to look for in choosing a close friend. They all begin with S, and so you'll be able to remember them very easily. Okay, statement number one, salvation. Salvation. The Bible says over in 1 John, you know it well, chapter 5 and verse 13, "These things have I written on you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." Salvation. So a person should know it. They should know it. Not hope it, not try to think if I got it or not. No, they should know that they're saved. Okay? The Bible talks about how can two walk together lest they be agreed. The Bible says a house divided against itself cannot stand. Okay? All right? So we understand this. If you're going to have a close friend, it ought to be somebody that is saved. They ought to know that they're saved. But not just know that they're saved, they ought to show that they're saved. So they know it and they show it. They're not a secret disciple. They're not somebody that's ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not somebody that hides Christ underneath that which is a rug somewhere. They don't put him in the closet when all of a sudden somebody shows up at the house. They show it. They show it. Here's what the Bible says over in Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 10. The Bible says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So God says that a person saved ought to be somebody that's walking the talk. Somebody says your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Don't ask me to say that again. But a person ought to exemplify what they profess. A person ought to be able to say, I am saved, and they show it with a life. What they say ought to line up with their life. What they say ought to line up with their walk. What they say ought to line up with their talk. They ought not say that they're saved and then they're doing some other things that would disgrace the very name of Christ. So a person that is saved, are they saved? Do they know for sure if they died, they'd go to heaven? All right. I told our kids, if you want to come become a close friend with somebody, first off, make sure that they're saved. All right. Statement number two, make sure they're surrendered. Make sure they're surrendered. Now, by the way, that's not saying that they have to go to the mission field. That's not saying that they have to be a preacher. That's not saying that they have to go out and do something exceptional for the Lord Jesus Christ. But are they willing to do whatever God wants? Are they willing to say, I'll be willing to go if God wants me to go? If God, you want me to be a missionary, I'll go. God, if you want me to be a preacher, a pastor, an evangelist, I'll do it. God, if you want me to marry a preacher, as a lady would say, I would do it. God, if you want me to take and be in Christian education, I'll do it. Okay? Are they surrendered? Are they surrendered to do whatever God wants for their life? Are they surrendered? Or are they saying, God, I'm willing to do this, but I'm not willing to do this. God, I'm willing to go this far with you, but after this far, forget it, I'm getting off. I'm not going to go any farther. Okay? Are they surrendered? John chapter 13 and verse 17, the Bible says, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. It's not just knowing them that makes a person happy. It's doing them. It's not just a person say, well, I know I should go to church, but I don't do it. You're not going to ever be happy. Well, I know I should tithe, but I don't do it. You'll never be happy. Well, I know that I should go soul winning, but I'm not going to do it. You'll never be happy. You were created to serve God. That's why you and I were created. We were not created to do what we want to do. We were created to do what God wants us to do. You ought to take your will, put your will in God's will. Being obedient is the very best place. And when you're obedient, it helps you to be happy. James chapter 4 and verse 17, the Bible says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good, we said it a moment ago, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I've never seen a person living in sin that was always happy. The Bible talks about how there's the pleasure of sin for a season. Then all of a sudden you wake up. Then all of a sudden you come to your senses. Bible talks about the prodigal son, how the prodigal son left home. He left dad. He left mom. He went away, the Bible says, into a far country. After he went away into a far country, he went down. He was feeding with the swan. One day he came to himself. What did that mean? He came to himself. That means he came to his senses. He woke up. Somebody said a person that's a saved person can sin. They just can't do it successfully. You know, it's very important that we understand when choosing those people that are your close friends, choosing those people that's going to influence your life, choosing those people that you're going to allow them to help you to make a decision in your life that's going to influence the inner man. You better choose somebody tonight that is saved. Saved. They have salvation. Choose somebody tonight that is surrendered. Surrendered to what? Surrendered to God's will. Here's what you find out about God's will. First off, he'll always show you the what. And God's will, almost all the time, he shows you the what first. What is the what of God's will? The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. That's a what? That's a what? God calls you to preach. That's a what? Maybe he calls you to be a missionary. That's a what? Maybe he calls you to be a Christian educator. That's a what? Maybe he calls you to be that one, if you will, that goes about and he says, I just want you to be an encourager to the man of God. That's a what? That's a what? Maybe God is using you to be a great usher, Sunday school teacher, bus captain, bus worker. You sing in the choir. Hey, that's a what? God always shows you the what. Normally, always, first. Then he'll show you the where. A lot of people walk around today saying, I want to know where I'm going to serve God, but they're not doing what they should be doing. Until you become faithful doing what you should be doing, God will never show you the where to do it. I know a lot of people. I know people that's gotten on the internet. And here's what they do. They Google pastorates that are empty. They'll Google it. Did I say Google it? Mrs. Crutcher's sitting there staring at me, smiling real big, like, oh, preacher. You might find out more by gurgling than you would by Googling. It's probably safer that way, too. But here's what they do. They'll get on the Google thing, and they'll Google churches that need pastors. They'll Google this, they'll Google that. And what they're doing is they're trying to find the where, but they're not faithful doing the what. God will never show you the where until you prove you. And by the way, listen to me. It is God that elevates a man. It is God that puts a man in the right place. It is God, the one that lifts up one and puts down another. That's God. Now I'm saying tonight, there's the what. We're talking about the will of God. There's the where. Then normally, lastly, he'll show you the when. Young preacher boy surrenders to preach and said, man, I tell you what, I want to quit Bible college right now and go out and preach. Only problem with that, probably the when is not in the right place. Got a lot of learning to do before you go. The when's not right. See, you can get so excited about the what, you search for the where, and if you're not careful, you'll get out of the will of God because you put the when in the wrong place. Just because you're in love with a girl today doesn't mean you ought to marry her now. Just because you're in love with a boy today as a girl, you have to qualify that nowadays, doesn't mean that you ought to marry him today. Hello? Well, I tell you what, I wish Pastor would choose me. Man, I could get in that pulpit and preach up a house of fire. But if you don't have the life to back it up because you're not doing the what, who's going to listen? You know, it is important that you get the what down. As you get the what down, God will show you the where. As you do the where, sometimes God will say, this is where I want you to go, but not now. This is, okay, missionaries. Missionaries, all of a sudden, they get the call of God, said, now, I know God wants me to go over to Africa, or God wants me to go to Europe somewhere, or God wants me to go to Russia. God wants me to go. Now, I want to go now. But they've got to spend 4 years of their life traveling America on deputation. They know the what, they know the where, but it takes time to get to the when. Takes time. Relationships that are built slowly normally are those that are more healthier. All of a sudden, a girl comes up to you and says, I believe that I am yours. When she says that, here's what you ought to do, run the other way. I'm saying salvation, surrender. Not saying that you're going to go somewhere, but are you surrendered? Hey, if God told you to quit your job today, would you be willing if God called you to a mission field? If God told you as an older man in your 50s to quit your job, go to Bible college, God's called you to preach, would you be willing to step out by faith, do what God says, and surrender your life to Him? It's all about surrender. Statement number three, separated. Separated. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17, the Bible says, wherefore come out from among them. The Bible says, and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Here's what he says. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So first off, he says, come out from among them. So you're separating from, and then he says, and I will be a father. I will receive you and be a father unto you. So your separation is two things. Separating from, unto. So I separate from worldliness, sinfulness, ungodliness, filth, corruption, wickedness, darkness, evilness, those things that are harmful, I separate from those to holiness, righteousness, purity, godliness, God himself, I separate from to. Is the person separated? Here's what I found out. If a person's not separated and they got the hooks of the world in them, when they become your friends, they bring all their garbage with them. Before you know it, you start thinking like them, smelling like them, walking like them, acting like them, dressing like them, going to the places that they go. You stop doing godly things. Why? I'll tell you why. There's that who that have hindered you. Be careful. Somebody says, I work down at a place in Dallas. Man, they're having a party. Think I'll go. If they're social drinking, don't. Don't. Because here's what you'll do. Because they're business associates, you want to be like them. Before you know it, you take a little drink. Before you know it, you're getting drunk. You're putting yourself at high risk. Don't. Young man says, I tell you what, they got a prom. Okay, let me ask you. At the prom, they're going to play Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. They going to do it? No, they're going to play the Skunk Skedaddle and the Dish Rag Twist. They're going to be conjiving all over each other. And they're going to be gurgling. Man, stay away from stuff that's going to contaminate you. Hey, there's nothing wrong with living for God. There's nothing wrong with standing for righteousness. There's nothing wrong with a young person saying, I won't do it. I will not do it. I will stand for God. I will go forward. Hey, don't act like the world. Talk like the world. Dress like the world. Smell like the world. Be right with God. Well, I'm saying this. I'm saying, hey, here's some ways to choose some close friends. Are they saved? Are they surrendered? He said, oh, preacher, nobody lives that way nowadays. I'd show you people in this room that do. Are they saved? Are they surrendered? Are they separated? You ready? Here we go. Are they submissive? Are they submissive? Are they submissive to their parents? By the way, listen to me. Before you ever start dating or courting a girl, go to the dad. Ask the dad, does your daughter obey you? Ask the dad, does she obey with a happy heart? If the dad says, well, not always, then that means wait. Because you're in danger of being ruined. If the dad says yes every time, man, my daughter's just as sweet as can be, obeys all the time without question. Probably a good girl. By the way, the way she obeys her daddy is probably the way she's going to obey you. Hello? Go to the mother. Ask the mother the same question. Hey, are you listening? All of a sudden the boy comes up, approaches you and says, I'd like to take your daughter out. So I'll get back with you. Don't rush it. Don't rush it. Here's what you do. You say, I'll tell you what, I'll get back with you. Go check the daddy out. So what about the boy? Ask the dad some questions. Hey, tell me about your son. Does he clean his room? I want to know the character qualities of your son. Your son's interested in my daughter. I want to know something about him. Does he have bills and does he pay them on time? Does he obey with a good spirit? Say, you ought not to do that, preacher. I'll never get a date. Hey, if you'll straighten up, live for God, do what's right, somebody's going to want you. I don't understand why Christians today settle for second best. Well, they're almost a good Christian. Hey, why don't you set your level here? Set it here. You say, well, nobody will be there. You'd be surprised. Man, there's good guys and good gals that love God. There's young people that said, I'll serve God. I'm not going to listen to the world's contaminant music. I'm not going to listen to that which is a contaminant type of talk. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to stay holy. I'm going to stay pure. And by the way, you listen to me. There's somebody out there just for you. Don't rush it. And you say, I'll tell you what, preacher, I'm 18, and I don't have a date. I'm going to be an old man, an old maid. I'd rather you be 81 and never have a date than have a ruined life. Hello? I'd rather you get somebody in your 30s because you waited. And you got the best than to get somebody that is not where they should be. You see, all we're asking them to be is a good Christian. That's it. We're not asking them to be perfect. We didn't say, hey, you got to surrender, go to the mission field and never come back. We didn't say that. We just said, are you surrendered? Are you willing to do whatever God wants? Statement number three, I said, are you separated? You're separated. By the way, living a separated life is not hard. You can choose to put beer in your refrigerator or not. You can choose to watch garbage on your screen or not. You can choose to put on porno on your computer or not. You can choose to sing songs that are worldly, movie type of song or not. You can choose. You don't have to choose dirt. You don't have to choose filth. You say, well, my dad does it, doesn't make it right. Well, my mama does it, doesn't make it right. You understand, preacher, the kids in the youth group, some of them do it. Doesn't make it right. Stop letting people be your standard. You decide to be holy. You decide to be right. Why? Because that's what God wants you to be. I'm saying tonight, you understand this. You understand that salvation is important. You understand tonight that being surrendered is important. You understand being separated. Hey, by the way, listen, if there's a young person, that young person, they don't want to be separated from the world. Here's my question. Why? Why? I cannot tell you, those of you that's got younger children, you ought to raise them in the ways of God. Because one day, they're going to break your heart. Well, you know, my child, boy, they need to be on a ball team. No, they need God more. Do you understand? They need to be socially accepted by that which is the world. Hey, show me that in the book. You can't show me that in the book. God says that you're not supposed to be conformed to this world, but you're supposed to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, which is in Christ Jesus. That's the way we're supposed to be. And you look at young people today, and it's like, man, are they saved or not? You can't tell. I first moved here. I went to Walmart. Well, I've gone since too. Long hair person at the end of the aisle. Never will forget it. I said, ma'am, I can't find, ma'am, can you help me? Burly looking man turned around, said, you talking to me? I said, not really. Have a good day. I was in Gulfport, Mississippi. My wife remembers this. We went into a book, a Barnes & Noble's place. They had a Starbucks or something similar to it. Guy comes walking up.
He said, "Can I help you?"
I said, "If I get coffee, are you going to serve it?"
He said, "I sure am."
I said, "Not interested. Have a good day." Walked away. I was at 7-Eleven. Now I have all these horrible things that happened to me. I was in 7-Eleven. You know how some of these guys don't have character to pull their pants up? Doesn't that bother you? Man, had his pants down showing his bloomers. Had his pants down to here. He's standing in front of me. Didn't have a belt on. Something came over this hand. And I grabbed that. The pants. I said, "Pull it up." I pulled his pants up. I said, "You're a disgrace. Go home and get a belt on." He said, I said, "Now you're walking like a duck." Go get a belt on. Didn't your mom teach you better? He said, and he ran out. Lady behind the cashier said, "Give me five." Society has changed. Man, you got girls nowadays that, I'm telling you, man, they got stuff so tight. Hello? You say, "Preacher, I'm here at a graduation service." I'm glad you're here. We love you. Oh man, they got stuff. And man, they're walking along and it's like, wow, really? I mean, really? And then you wonder why those type of boys are chasing your daughter. Come on. You know, she ought not. Don't get mad at me. This is a graduation service. We're happy. But she's painting herself up like she's a woman that's selling herself on the street. No wonder she's drawing what she's drawing. I tell the girls, look, it's not just about being modest. It's about moderation. If you're dressing so you're the one that stands out in the crowd and everybody's got to look at you, it might be you're overdoing it just a little too much. If you're putting lipstick on so thick that your lips now are 4 inches farther out than the way God made them, you might be doing it a little too much. If you got so much, I don't know what it's called, but this stuff. What do you call it? Foundation? What is it? Brother Wester, what is it? You got all this stuff, and it takes you 3 hours just to get down to where your face really is. You think you might be overdoing it? Come on. Hey, dress to please God. I'm saying this. Hey, come out from among them and be separate. Learn to be able to be that one that puts God first. What's wrong with that? I'm telling you, what's wrong with that? What is wrong with that? You say, "Well, if I don't fix me up, the guys aren't going to notice." There are certain things that the guys should not notice. Come on, think about it. Come on, guys. Come on. Now all of a sudden it takes a guy 3 hours to do his hair. Hey, you better be careful. You might start looking like him. Now, you know the blessedness of this? There's nothing there. You don't have to worry about it no more. Hello? Okay. Never mind. Here's what it says. Submit. God's given you authority. You know why we're having so much problems with people obeying police? Promise you, they don't obey mom and daddy at home either. Somebody didn't teach them. I love that one dear mother. That guy had a hoodie on. He said, yeah. Mama said, is that you, boy? Grabbed him, said, hey, it's not right. Spank, 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 spank. I'm 23. Spank, ping, 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 ping. On the way home. No, son, like that's going to act like that. No! You know, we have trouble with kids on the bus. You know, the one person that can straighten them out, mama. Because I tell you, when mama gets involved, there is involvement gotten on. 1 Corinthians 11:3, here we go. I'm almost done. It says, but I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. God has an order of authority. How should we do it? Psalm 122 and in verse 1, he says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Be cheerful. Be happy about it. Be happy about it. So I'm not happy. I got to be in church. Change your focal point. Get happy about it. Come to church. Put it on. The Bible says to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put him on. Put him on. You put him on when you walk into the church. Put him on. Statement number next. I'm done. Here it is. Serving. Are they serving? You want somebody that's a close friend? You want somebody that's going to help you, take you to a greater level? Salvation, surrendered, separated, submissive, serving. Serving. Somebody comes to my office, boy, girl, says, hey, a preacher, what do you think about so-and-so? Should I consider dating them? I said, let's put them through the ringer. Let's put them through the ringer. Are they saved? Let's put them through the ringer. Are they surrendered? Put them through the ringer. Are they separated? Put them through the ringer. Are they submissive? Are they somebody that's serving? What's it mean to serve? You know the acrostics, Jesus first, others second, yourself last. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus first. Jesus first. Others, the Bible says Jesus went forth, saw the multitude. When he saw them, he was moved with compassion towards them. Others, yourself, be kindly affectionate one to another. Bible says with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Always yourself last. So here's the question, serving. Serving. I'm saying, if you want to have somebody that's close, make sure that that person is somebody that has these attributes in place. Now you say, wait a minute, I don't even have those attributes in place. Then here's what I would do. If I were you, I'd work on you. I'd work on you. I'd look at myself in the mirror, draw a circle around myself, sing the old spiritual. It's not my father, not my mother, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, yes, it's me, oh Lord, standing. It's about you. It's you. Not somebody else. It's you. Most of the time, marriages would be better. We just work on us. Most of the time, relationships would be better. We just work on us. Most of the time, that which is a relationship, are you listening to me? With your family would be better. Wouldn't it be great if everybody said, I'll tell you what, this is it right here. This is it. This is it. I'm going to walk so close to God that God is going to show favor on me. I'm going to walk so close to God that God is going to show favor on me. Said in my Sunday school class, I'm done closing illustration. I said, we live in such a passive society. hard preaching, most people can't take it. I'm never going to go back to that church. He stepped on my toes, sit in my lap, spit in my eyeball. Most people want an ear-tickling preacher. They want to go to church. And by the way, you listen to me. This type of preaching years ago is what built churches. Because when you start walking close to God, God starts working more through you. Through you. But when you're far away from God, He doesn't have you as a conduit. When I moved here, Mrs. Wells and I owned, I don't know, we owned a duplex. We owned a house, double-wide trailer, single-wide trailer, and another home. So we owned, what was that, five houses or so down in Mississippi, all rental stuff. Had a property manager. We were on the road. As long as we were on the road for 12 years, we could stop in every so often, kind of check it out. When we moved here, things started falling apart. We had one that burnt to the ground. Faulty. They took this wire or extension cord. Thank you. Took an extension cord, plugged too many things in it. Thank the Lord they were out of the house. Burned the house down. Another one. They decided that they were going to go in, invite their friends in, had a wild party. Burnt the house down. Two of them. The other three, caretaker was not caring like they should. Started kind of corroding stuff. So we sold them. What was left? Got out of it. Now, wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. Are you listening to me? You can let things go in your life that when people look at you years gone by and they say, I remember how you used to be. Then they walk away wondering, what happened? What happened? You can let things go in your personal life so much that you get so cold about the things of God that coming to church doesn't matter. Man, if I come, I come. If I don't, I don't. Doesn't matter. Should. You ought to have such a warmth of God inside of you. Just can't wait to get there. Can't wait to hear preaching. Can't wait to see God change my life. That's the way it ought to be. But a lot of that has to do with your choices of friends. Buddy says, hey man, let's go to the house. You go to the house and start playing stuff. It's got wrong viewing on it. You don't want to say no, because after all, that is a friend. Get in the car, they turn the radio on, wrong music. You don't say, no, we don't want, no, turn that off. Because it's a friend. You have to be careful. Choose your close friends wisely. You say, I'm not there myself, preacher. What do I do? He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took him just a week to make the moon and the stars. Me. Let him work on you.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.